Welcome to This Justin, the show bringing you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. And now, for the fastest voice in healthcare, here's your host, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome to This Justin. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. In these segments, I'll bring you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. As always, we're broadcasting from the This Justin studios on the Business Radio X network, as well as the Healthcare Now radio network. For this episode, my 179th episode, I'm continuing with a new format highlighting the most recent headlines and research covering the latest healthcare trends as well as strategies. I use this format inside each of my think tank sessions, but realize that I should be sharing with my broader audiences. So for this show, I'm going to focus on the latest health IT and digital health headlines, as well as trends. And some of those topics are CFO investment and digital transformation. Very important to have these things paid for. Telemedicine market growth. 10 breakthrough technologies. So a really cool segment where I talk about some of the probably technologies and innovations that you've heard of, and then certainly some that you have not that are very, very interesting. So I think it'd be a good use of your time for that. Also, just recently, in the last day or so, the House overturns the national patient identifier ban. So that's going to be very interesting to watch. I'll dive into that a little bit. Won't get political, but certainly we'll give you a kind of where we are and what to look forward to here in the coming weeks as the Senate takes it up. Wearables and health sensor growth. I think this is very important to keep our finger on the pulse, no matter what side of healthcare you're on. It's just to see where these innovations are coming, what's going through the FDA, and different components like that. So I'll touch on that. How AI, artificial intelligence, is and will affect healthcare. So a really cool list of some of the things you may know AI is in the middle of, but then also several innovations and technologies and strategies where you may not realize AI is involved. So it's kind of cool. And I'm going to close with a discussion, probably a brief one, depending on how much time we have, on the rise of smart communities. This is something that's very near and dear to my heart. It's something that I'm trying to create, or I've created slowly here in Georgia. But it's a great topic. It's a fun topic. It's about health. It's about innovation. It's about a brighter future. So it's a topic that is near and dear, and hopefully we'll have enough time because these shows are not fully scripted. Normally I have a series of questions with my guests, but I decided to change the format up for the latter part of 2019 as much as I can. I'm still going to have guests on. I'm excited to always hear from other people, but I also like to cover and discuss the latest headlines kind of as I see them. I'm out there in the industry every single day helping companies grow, and I see a lot. I read a lot. And I like to be able to share it. I share some of the innovations. I love to see what's coming new, what's working, what's not working. And let's talk about things that do work and why they work. And let's talk about things that don't work. And let's stop doing what doesn't work. And that's hard. That's very difficult for people to stop pouring time and energy into something that has not worked, but they've really invested a lot of their life into, but it may not be right or it may not be the right time. And so we'll try to touch on that certainly when it's applicable. But I would like this kind of a show to listen to so I can keep my finger on the pulse. Hopefully this is a good use of 26 minutes of your time. Let's dive right into my first piece here. Because at the end of the day, cash is king. And so my very first topic here is nearly four, and this is from Health Leaders, nearly four in five CFOs plan to invest more in digital transformation. So almost 70% of CFOs expect to increase investments in digital transformation by more than 20% at the end of Q1 2020, according to a recent Black Book survey. So that's very encouraging. A lot of us love innovation. We know what it can do. We've seen the benefits. We've seen the ROI. But we've got to make sure people are buying this, and they are, and they want to, and they will continue to. So I think that's very encouraging. Here are a couple quick stats from this article. CFOs reported that the top three health IT challenges facing their respective hospitals and health systems are system integration, which 92%, I completely agree with that, upkeep of financial legacy systems, 84%, and lack of financial IT talent, 81%. So there's a lot of opportunity there. I like to cover these pieces because in these stats are opportunity for us all. So obviously integration has been key for 20 years. It's going to continue on staying very important. As I talk to a lot of young innovators or just innovators in general, they talk about, what are the secrets to success or the keys to success? And I always go back to, you've got to always be solving a problem. But even when you solve a problem, you got to solve a big enough problem for enough people. And you also, in my opinion, can't solve it in a bubble or in a pilot. It's got to be integrated into the overall infrastructure of an organization. So you've got to integrate what you create. These great innovations that we have, you've got to find a way to integrate them into the current infrastructure or workflows, clinical, financial. But you've got to get that integration. You can't disrupt workflow. You can't add more clicks. You can't add more time into someone's schedule, at least at the grand scale. You might be able to at a small scale, but if you really want to get large market adoption, you've got to solve big problems, reduce workloads, create easier workflows, and just make life simpler. So just some benefits that I like to share with people and how I've been able to achieve success and what best practices I see out there. So I think that's probably enough on that one, but I think it's very important. A, people are investing, CFOs want to invest, and that's great. And then also, what can you do? You can make sure that you're focusing in the right areas for them. Integration, help them with the upkeep of their financial legacy systems. And then obviously lack of IT talent, that we can solve. That's a human problem. So we've got to make sure that we're educating the right people, we're fostering the right environments, and we're getting those people out there to help. So our next topic, moving right along, is telemedicine. This is very near and dear to my heart. We spend a lot of time in the think tank on telehealth, telemedicine, virtual care. But very excitedly to report here, the telemedicine market is expected to account for more than $38 billion by 2029. So almost $40 billion by 2029. And a lot of us feel we've just scratched the surface of what telehealth can do. Because it's just a component of the overall virtual care market. So, I mean, there's so much that we can do, in our care plans and with our care strategies. Something that I like to speak about that we've been able to do here in Georgia, and this kind of came out of the think tank, our last couple of think tanks, and having these very large health systems come up and present their research along with some of our research. But we've been able to uncover that patients, while they like, quote unquote, video visits, they call it quote unquote a video visit or telehealth, they really want it with their doctor, not a doctor. And they want their doctor to have access to their medical records when they're giving virtual care or advice or hosting a telemedicine visit or a virtual care visit. So something to keep in mind. I know that would be a significant rewrite. We've been able to create a new care plan and care strategy here in Georgia that enables that. But very important, if you're rolling out telehealth solutions, these telemedicine solutions, that you do find a way to evolve the care strategy and the care plans, that you're hopefully connecting patients, consumers with their providers using these types of bridges, this video capability, and obviously having access to their medical records. So again, it goes back to the integration. 10 years ago, telemedicine was great. But if you do it completely in a silo, you don't build the trust. You don't have the probably a lot of the financial incentives that come along with it because you created a disjointed care strategy. Now, it certainly can work for triaging. And there's a lot of, I know there are some benefits to having standalone telehealth and just getting care to somebody in an emergency situation in a remote area. I get all that. And I understand all that completely. But I'm talking about big, large scale growth among urban and even non-urban communities. You've got to have access to the medical records, access to the past care, their health history, and hopefully it's with a provider that they know, because that's what consumers are asking for. And it's very important. More and more consumerism, as consumerism engages healthcare, more and more we hear from our patients people in healthcare in general, they want access to their medical information and they want access to their doctor. And they want to use innovation to do that. So we just make sure that we're fostering that. Some other good studies here Just to give you some of the growth. So in 2013, 350,000 people used telehealth worldwide. 350,000 in 2013. In 2018, 7 million people to show the growth. So very exciting. This is obviously a global phenomenon. But again, you know, whenever possible, integrate into the care plan, into the care strategy, have access to the medical records, all this integrated. And I know we're moving there, but the health systems that move there more quickly are going to see more success. And we'll have the financial ROI that they want, that a lot of us are banking on. So I think those are some of the high points from that study. Let me see here. The North America, and as you can expect, North America and Europe telemedicine markets are expected to have a combined share of 53% of the global telemedicine market. Well, that's, and that makes complete sense. So I think that here are some of the benefits, you know, factors such as increasing use of smartphones, use of wireless technology that bring cost efficiency, improved accuracy of treatment and diagnosis, reduced consultation time, and the need to maintain high standards of delivery of service by providing access to quality care on a real-time basis are also contributing to the growth of the telemedicine market. So I completely agree with all that. Again, I'm in the middle of that. Every one of our members in our health plan here in Georgia has telehealth with their doctor, virtual care with their doctor and their care team, and has access to all of their medical records. So I'm a very big proponent. I know it works. So moving right along here. Here's a great topic, and this is going to be a lot of fun to talk about. So the 10 breakthrough technologies that will define 2019, and this actually came in partnership with Bill Gates, and what's really cool, in MIT, and seven of these are healthcare related. So these are just breakthroughs in general, and so I think it's kind of interesting. My show is focused 80% on healthcare, and 20% on just corporate strategy overall, mainly in America, but this segment right here is interesting because we touch on several aspects. So I'm just gonna walk through these. So number one of the top 10 breakthrough technologies from Bill Gates and MIT, MIT Technology Review published this a couple days ago. Gut probe with a pill. So these are swallowable devices that can detect and potentially prevent diseases that cause malnutrition and stunted growth in millions of children worldwide. So I completely agree with this. We've seen this innovation now evolve pretty quickly, and obviously a lot of excitement around it. Number two, custom cancer vaccines. I think we all see this with personalized health and where personalized medicine is going, but here's what it says. Personalized cancer vaccines targeting only the cancerous cells and leave healthy cells alone could help ensure faster recovery times and pose fewer health risks to patients. So I completely agree with that. So custom cancer vaccines, excellent. Number three, not necessarily health related, but it is actually in a touch point here. Meat-free burgers. I eat these today, so these are great. Plant-based and lab-grown food products will ideally alleviate the environmental impact of the livestock industry. So not only does it help the environment in livestock, but also it's better for us. A lot of these meat-free burgers are tasty. You really can't taste the difference. And it's just great to swap it up once in a while. Very interesting there. The next one, and I completely agree with this, smooth-talking AI assistants. So smooth-talking artificial intelligence assistants. And we'll even touch on AI a little bit later in this segment as well. But the AI assistants of the future will have even more human-like conversations to personally engage customers. Companies would see measurable benefits with just one breakthrough here, garnering a 5% jump in productivity. Very, very true. I mean, we see this, you know, every single think tank, we highlight some new AI innovation, and there's some just great work going across the country, up in University of Boston, and is just doing some phenomenal work out there with Gabby, was one of the AI, basically really helping. That's the name of the AI technology. Her name is Gabby, but she'll help you with actually post-operative treatments and just post-operative care in an area, in a time where you might be grogging coming out from a surgery or something or a procedure, and then this medical assistant that's all digital on the screen walks you through all your next steps at your pace and your recovery and your care plan at your pace. I went through a procedure a couple of years ago where I did not have that kind of technology or innovation, And my doctor, I was just so elated that everything went well, and I had a perfectly clean bill of health, and my doctor said, gave me an entire care plan for the next 30 days. I remembered nothing from that. I was still coming out from anesthesia. I was elated that everything went well, and he talked to me. He's a phenomenal doctor, great bedside manner, but I didn't remember a darn thing. And if I had Gabby next to me, I could just press stop, go, and I could kind of learn at my pace. Certainly when you're coming off of anesthesia, it could help a lot. So I certainly see these, never mind with the productivity and all that. I thought of the health benefits. So I certainly see that. So that was number four. Number five, sanitation without sewers. So improperly drained sewage causes death in one out of every nine children. Sanitation that doesn't require sewers would not only prevent exposure diseases, but also help turn waste into useful products like fertilizer. And I completely agree with this. This is phenomenal innovation and invention. And we created something similar to this, a company called Never Thirst. We support a children's home and a community, a couple of communities in Cambodia. And one of them, basically this community propped up next to a dump site. So can you imagine a third world dump site? This was not a sanctioned community. The government had nothing to do with it, but people are very poor. People are looking to work. And so they can go into the dump and pull devices and things that you can sell out of the dump. Well, they set up camp. They set up communities. They have children. And so next thing you know, you've got 40, 50, 60, 70 people living on the side of a dump. Well, this area floods. It's contaminated. They don't have clean drinking water, which then when you don't have clean drinking water, well, we actually set up a medical clinic there for them. But you're not solving problems. You're just trying to solve the present day issue. But we're talking long-term health issues that just keep reoccurring because they're drinking polluted water. So we went to the source. We actually created clean water solutions through a great company called Never Thirst that helps. So this is a great innovation. Because we just touched the drinking water, never mind sanitation. So this is something near and dear to my heart. So that's number five, sanitation without sewers. That's just excellent. Number six, ECG on your wrist. I think we've all seen this, but here's the caption. While most medical ECGs have up to 12 nodes to detect abnormalities, today's wearables typically have only one. So we're talking about having 12X coming up. An ECG on the wrist would help reduce the risk of heart disease by monitoring changes in patterns in daily life. So I certainly see, you know, we've seen what the iWatch can do and other devices. But yeah, having 12 nodes to detect abnormalities will make a big, big difference. Number seven, robot dexterity. Advances in robotics will enable the natural dexterity required to complete a greater range of tasks, such as helping an ailing loved one out of bed, doing the laundry, or building toys. So I've seen this. I've had some investments in the robotics industry for many years now. And so seeing the dexterity here advance will tremendously help our, you know, not only our manufacturing and in our healthcare, but certainly us as consumers, us inside our homes. I see a great evolution there. So excited about that. Number eight, predicting preemies. Premature births are the leading cause of death for children under 5 years old. A test to detect the possibility of a premature birth could be available in doctor's offices as well as 5 years from now. So very cool, predicting preemies. That's number eight. Number nine, carbon dioxide catcher. Carbon dioxide catchers filter out CO2 from the air and capture it for other uses. These include synthetic fuel creation, CO2 for soft drinks, and plant growth in greenhouses. So very, very cool. Carbon dioxide catcher. That's number nine. And number 10, new wave nuclear power. Traditional nuclear power reactors produce 1,000 megawatts, while these proposed mini reactors would produce tens of megawatts, making them safer, more stable, and more financially viable for potential users. So new wave nuclear power. So again, seven out of those 10 were healthcare related. So very, very cool. And here's the takeaway. Seven of the 10 breakthrough technologies stem from the health tech sector, while several inventions on this list are years away from becoming a reality, they continue to embody the vision and passion that humans share to create and explore. I completely agree. So very cool. Just good to keep your finger on the pulse. Hopefully you found that as interesting as I did. So let me move right along here to my next component. Touch very briefly, I don't want to have a political conversation, We're going to touch on the National Patient Identifier. This is something that for decades has been banned. We were not able to touch that for usually for privacy reasons, or the main reason was privacy reasons. But here's a quick excerpt. So the U.S. House of Representatives passed a $99.4 billion HHS appropriation bill with several amendments, including reversing a longtime ban on developing a national patient identifier. There's also money in there for hospital emergency departments dealing with the opioid overdoses and a nod to the anti-vaccination controversy. So again, I don't think you need to dive too much in here. I will give you kind of the next steps will be the Senate needs to take this up in the coming weeks. And there's obviously going to be a big battle around there just because people are going to be looking to increase the spending caps and the debt ceiling. So obviously that's always going to be interesting conversation. But I do, you know, I would not be surprised if this ban does get lifted. It's been talked about for a long time. It was something that people feel they couldn't touch. But I think right now, with a need for more interoperability, more integration, I think there's a growing swell. So we will certainly keep an eye on that. I also got to keep an eye on time. We've got about 5 minutes left here. I'm going to touch quickly on the wearables and really the sensors. Nothing more to say, hey, these are growing. From 2012 to 2018, the product developments have grown 47% annually on the number of clinical trials that are under or wearables that are in clinical trials. So really seeing big growth. You may not see, I think we're predicting like a 16 to 20% growth moving forward because we're at such a large rate right now, but there's a lot of innovation here. So bottom line here, wearables, sensors moving through the FDA, you're going to continue to see an uptick. Just a lot of opportunity with what, you know, I use a sensor every single day. I now run every day. And, you know, I use a sensor to track my heart rate, my pace and everything. And then a lot of this is, you know, it's all health related. So I highly recommend getting a starting point. I mean, I think that as we get older, as healthcare costs rise, we've got to do a better job individually of taking care of ourselves. I mean, it's the number one cause for personal bankruptcy, our healthcare bills. And, you know, you can blame a lot of people, but we also need to look at ourselves and going, hey, what can we do to lower our personal healthcare costs? Now, significant accidents, you can't change that. But when you look at the leading causes of death, those are preventable. Those are on heart disease and COPD and other toxins that we add and create and put into our body. So we've really got to look at that and pay attention to say, what can we do? And wearables and sensors are a great, very inexpensive way for us to manage and maintain our health and get a really good in-depth look on how we're doing and what we can do better. So now my next couple of segments, I'm gonna move a little bit more quickly because I do wanna get through AI in healthcare, artificial in healthcare, the top ways AI is affecting the healthcare industry. So in some of this is kind of cool stuff. And I hope everybody's taken a moment to, you know, see what AI is doing. Because there are a lot of things where I'll even go through the list here. Medical records with data management functionality. So a lot of repetition. And I've invested in a couple of AI companies just because they can do things at 100 times the speed the human mind can with 100% accuracy or, you know, 0.00001% of mistakes and failure. So it's just it really is a boon to some industries, obviously healthcare. Law, contracting, there's a lot of great areas that we're using AI. But here, medical records with data management functions, robotic repetitive tasks, analyzing results of x-rays, CT scans. You know, AI now provides treatment designs, for example, analyzing data in patient files and research for individualized treatments. Medical consultations are something some AI apps provide today, these digital consultations. Input your concerns and treatment options, then they provide a recommendation for the best treatment options. One thing that we uncovered in our think tank is augmented intelligence. So AI, but not artificial intelligence, but augmented. So a lot of doctors, you know, they may not trust AI quite yet, and I completely understand. Some do, but some don't. But on the other hand, where we are seeing a lot of movement and growth is where augmented intelligence is coming in using AI, but using suggestions. So saying, hey, you know, you're going to scan 100 looking for abnormalities or looking for normalcies in 100 x-rays or 1,000 x-rays, where again, the human eye can't do it, but you're not relying 100% on the technology, but you're saying, hey, this is what the technology found. This is what the system, the innovation found. Review it for yourself. And then what do you feel as a doctor, as an expert? So I think that's augmented reality, and you're gonna see much more of that. Moving right along here, some other areas or headlines here from the AI. The National Institute of Health, NIH, now operates an AI application that monitors a patient's use of medication. It monitors, you know, for example, it monitors if a patient is using or abusing their medication. Very important, certainly the opioid epidemic underway in this country. Next bullet point here. There are many pharmaceutical companies using AI applications with their clinical trials. What used to take years can now take months using AI programs and AI programs that track data results for medical advances. Genetics and genomics used for AI linking diseases to mutations and DNA information. Again, where it would take years for a human to do this, it could take, you know, weeks and months for a machine to do this with much more accuracy in most cases. And if you ever worn a Fitbit, which is certainly me and many of you, you are using an AI application for health monitoring. These are wearable health trackers that track everything from heart rates to activity levels. And again, I talk about that. I already ran this morning and do this every single day. The healthcare system is moving towards digitization. AI can move through data, analyze treatment issues, and report on workflow problems. So certainly, if you're not up on this, I would certainly just keep an eye on AI. This is a topic that, again, that comes up in our think tank on a very regular basis. But I've got to actually wrap up the show right now. So we'll get to the next components in our next show. I truly appreciate everybody's time. And thank you for joining us today. And you can tune in weekdays and join us weekdays at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific to hear our latest shows. As always, you can track me on Twitter at HIT Advisor and use the hashtag ThisJustInRadio so we can respond to your comments from the show. If you missed any of this episode or want to hear more, all my shows are posted on Apple iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Google Play, and TuneIn. You also can check out all the updates that we've launched at justinbarnes.com. I just posted a new keynote out there. Thanks, everyone. Have a terrific week.